Let's pray. Lord, we sing your words. We sing them back to you, this vision of your holy, unshakable, established throne that is set in the midst and above stormy waters, winds, tempests, and it literally is what we are seeing now with hurricanes coming through our country, even into our state, the aftermath of that, and then figuratively, the storms of things happening in the world around us, disrupting our lives. We take great comfort, and we believe what you have told us, that your throne is established. Nothing has changed. And we are confident in you, we boast in you, and we praise you tonight. Be with us as we listen to you, as we bring our prayers to you. Unite our spirits. Cause us to fear your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to look at God's word tonight and a little bit of something from the sermon this week that we probably won't have time in the sermon proper to expand, but it's in the passage. So this is from Mark 5, and I'm going to read just verses 1 through 10. Mark 5, 1 through 10. And one of the things that's exciting about the Bible is we get to tap into a reality that we only have clues about, and others can speculate about it, but we are given inside information about it. We're going to get to talk about God, the Son of God, and demons. So let's hear from God's word. Mark 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Well, we will this Lord's Day, if the Lord wills, look at this account of the man who is possessed by thousands of demons. For tonight's devotional, I want to look at some details in this passage that probably can't fit into the limitations of a Sunday's sermon. Briefly, we'll look at three aspects in this account: destruction, domination, and deterrence. Destruction, domination, and deterrence. Let's look at destruction, and specifically in this passage, we're looking at the destruction of a human life that is pictured in this account. Here we have the devil and his demons ruining a person's life. We have clues about the extent, the nature of what demons can do. One thing that we can tell from this passage is that they have the ability to ruin a human being's life. Now, we don't know how this particular man became involved with the demons. Perhaps he had mixed himself up with the occult, with magic. Maybe he had opened himself up to them through false religions, which sacrifice to demons. That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10. However it was that it began, this man's life at this point in Mark 5, this man's life was destroyed. he was, and here's the list of just what you can see from all of the accounts about him. He was alienated from other people. He was living among the dead. That's Mark 5, too. Also Luke 8, 29. He was both shameful and terrifying. He was running around outdoors without clothes, Luke 8, 27. He was wreaking extreme violence on society. That's in Matthew 8, 28. He was a nuisance to the people who were near him. He prevented other people from just traveling through the area. That's in Matthew 8, 28. He couldn't be restrained. He couldn't be contained. He was breaking chains, breaking away from guards, Mark 5, 4. He lived a life of public howling, public self-injury, Mark 5, 5. And always, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the graveyard, crying out, cutting himself with stones. His life was not admirable. There are people that are drawn to the power of Satan. There is real power there. But this is a picture of where it takes you. His life was not something you would want. His life had become the opposite of the image of God. It was a picture of what the devil does to a person if he's given free rein. The devil destroys human life. So we've looked at the destruction of the man's life. Now let's look at domination. The scene shows the demons dominating the man, which we just described. But the scene also shows Jesus dominating the demons. As powerful as the demons are, and they are powerful as they are, the demons are utterly dominated by Jesus. It is not even a contest. There is only a verbal exchange. Look at how Jesus dominates the demons. Chapter 5, verse 7, they know that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Jesus' position is above all other positions, all other domains, all other spheres of control. They acknowledge it. Mark 5, 6, they fall on their knees before Jesus. When it says they worshiped him, the sense is the man with the thousands of demons in him comes and falls on his knees before Jesus. They verbally acknowledge Jesus' authority. They physically surrender before him. There's no struggle. Jesus doesn't wrestle with them. He doesn't have to do anything. He's already over them. Mark 5, 10, all of their activities require permission. They have to get a permission slip from Jesus Christ. They have to ask and be granted permission before they can inhabit, before they can destroy. We see clues of this also in places like Job. Satan himself has to be granted permission from God before the servants of the Lord, the people of God, can be harmed, before pigs can be harmed. Also, Mark 5, 8, these demons must obey the commands of Jesus. They can't do without his permission. They must do when he commands. There is no struggle at all when Jesus commands them here. So you see two forms of domination: the demons utterly wielding destructive power over a human being, but then Jesus wielding utter domination over the demons. So we can learn from this passage to respect the power of demons, but we also can learn from this passage to have no fear of demons. If you are Christ's, there's no contest. So we looked at destruction. We looked at domination. Now let's look at deterrence. What if a person's life is in this state? A person's life is ruined, utterly under the power of demons, thousands of demons. We don't know exactly what that could look like today, but we have no indication that this has stopped happening in the world. look at some of the details of this life. I can't be absolute about what demonic possession, especially by a host, by a legion of demons, would look like. But look at some of the details here. The howling, the self-injury, the separation from other people, the alienation from human relationship, the shameful disrobing, the inability of anyone, any groups of people, to contain the chaos emanating from this one person. In our day, we do see examples of people's lives which seem to be self-destructing, which seem to be unstoppably self-destructing. As many of people who try it, all the town resources, all of the social workers' resources applied, and no one can stop them from imploding and self-destructing. When is it just tragic self-destruction? And when is it demonically fueled self-destruction? We don't often know. We don't have to know. But here is something that we do know. Thousands of demons controlled that man to the point that they even spoke for him. They had dominated, they had destroyed his life and all of his relationships, but they could not deter him from coming to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus delivered him. No matter how low a person has sunk, no matter how low, how far they have run, how much shame they have sunk themselves into, thousands of demons cannot stop them from coming to Jesus. No matter how chaotic your life has become, thousands of demons cannot stop Jesus from delivering you. So I close with the words of Psalm 40, verse 17. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God.